This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3348 for Wednesday, the 2nd of June 2021. Today's show is entitled Feedback on the article by Hedera about HPR. It is hosted by Ken Fallon and is about 74 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, join the policy discussions on the mail list.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is not the community news for April 2021 part 2. It is, although I suppose technically you could say it is, Dave. What do you think?
Well, it feels a bit like it, yeah. Especially since we said we were going to do this on the community news.
Okay, so what we're doing here is there was a lot of comments on the mailing list, so we're just going to go through them one by one and release it as a separate show, following my old mantra of, like, why waste a show when you can have two shows? So it all started on a cold winter's night. It all started by a blog post by Hedron, is it?
I read that as Hedora.
That would be it. Because you read stuff and I don't. Anyway, Hedora, I came across this article on the Mastodons, and I posted a nice article on HPR with a valid question at the end, and I got permission from him or her or it to read out this article. So shall we do that?
Yeah. Do you want me to...
There'll be a lot of reading out of articles in this, just as a warning.
Was that a cue to me, or are you going to manage?
I don't know. I could. I'll do it seeing as I posted the person. Okay. Right.
Okay.
So this was posted on the 24th of the 4th, 2021. Hacker Public Radio is a wonderful project. Anyone can submit. You see, this is how it's going to be the whole show. Let's start again. And no, I'm not editing this out. Hacker Public Radio is a wonderful project. Anyone can submit a show and get it published into the virtual ether. This is a beautiful thing. You end up with some absolute gems, but also some weird ones about belt buckles, historical political rants, and people fixing garage doors. But I enjoy it, and it's easy to filter out the episodes you don't want to listen to. When I first found out about HPR, I thought it would be a hacker podcast in the other sense of the world, breaking into systems and such. But it's really more about general Linux and Unix-like topics, free open source software, tinkering, maker stuff, learning, and free culture, even though it occasionally drops an episode about security-related topics. The project aims to put out 5 shows a week. That's a lot if you're counting on volunteers producing content in their spare time. I've never done it myself, but I understand that recording, researching, recording, and editing, and writing show notes is a lot of work. Every year, there are inevitably periods where there are called for shows, often resulting in some of the usual suspects, aka long-time contributors, quickly putting something together and submitting. I think the quality of the episodes greatly decline during these periods. You sometimes get episodes where the intro and outro together is longer than in duration than the actual content. It's not my place to criticize the project since I'm just a non-contributing listener, but I can't help but wonder if the goal of 5 shows per week isn't maybe too ambitious. I think it would be nicer if some slots were kept empty if somebody submitted a show for that day. If a show drops, it drops. I suspect that the quality of the shows generally would improve and fewer episodes would be produced in a rush. I can imagine that this would also take some stress off the regular contributors. On the other hand, these call for shows might give contributors a kick in the butt to finish and submit their current work in progress. I feel like an asshole for bringing this up. I love HBR and I've gotten so much knowledge, value and good laughs out of it over the many years I've been a listener. And this was updated after I posted the link. I regret writing this post after Ken Fallon linked to it on the Hacker Public Radio mailing list, which is where their policy decisions are proposed and discussed. I leave this post up as a reminder to myself to think things through before publishing. Quality was a suboptimal choice of words. Hell, most of the music I listen to is poorer quality than any given HPR episode. I have nothing but respect towards the contributors of HPR. So that was the main thing. And to be honest, I'll give you my first impression of this was it was an excellent piece. Pretty much they should be doing our editing a lot of our pages on HPR because it pretty much describes what HPR is. So very good there. Mm-hmm. And it's a valid question. And it's so long since that question was brought up. That's why I posted it to the HPR mailing list. And this is why we've got an extra show. So we've got an extra show out of this day. So the first response was from Jason Dodd. Do you want to take that one?
Okie doke.
And Jason's... Or do you have any comments on the original article?
Well, I certainly liked the original article. I thought the compliments were very, very welcome, and it was great to get that particular viewpoint of HBR, which, you know, so seeing through somebody else's eyes is usually different from seeing things through your own eyes, and it's always a very valuable thing to take a different viewpoint. The question of the leaving of gaps is also a valid one, but that without preempting some of the discussion we're going to have in a minute, it feels like something which has been hashed out in the past and has been concluded upon, and somebody coming to it without seeing that those previous discussions and the previous history of HPR maybe wouldn't appreciate these things until they were pointed out. So entirely valid from that stance.
Exactly, and that was my feeling on it. Why, as a janitor, even though I don't agree with it, as you'll see later in the discussions, as a janitor, I felt it important that we discuss these things because HBR as a community changes over time. So we see that we've seen that recently in some of the policies that I thought, oh, well, this will go this way, and it went a completely different way. Because people, long-time listeners drop off and new contributors come in and new people come and new people go. So it refreshes over time. So that's why it is always good to occasionally go back and reevaluate the decisions that you made in the past. And that's what we're doing here. So good opportunity for that.
Yep. So Jason Dodd replied, and he said, this is the same question I asked myself when you said we'd do one every day. If we ran out of shows, HPR was over. At least that's what you said, according to my memory. I didn't go back to check. I had my doubts, but now I'm convinced that this way is better. In my honest opinion, anyone put off by the quality of HPR shows doesn't get it. Some of the best episodes are ones which are most unlistenable. If HBR were to turn into a polished deal, I'd call it a step backwards.
Yeah. And I think in my comments, I refer to what he's on about there. So the original paragraph, perhaps I did, perhaps I didn't. Let's make a note there just to remember to discuss that. I did want to say that in the original episode, it's important that what didn't become clear is the quality is one point that I didn't point out anywhere was that just because the queue comes out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and there are short shows in there, those short shows may not be the ones that are submitted as a result of a call for shows. So that Dave and I, we would have seen that because we see the order of which the shows come in and the order of which we post them. So, for example, that show that I did on the text-to-speech thing, the scanning documents, which one was it? Let me just check. Yeah, HPR 315, which was scheduled for the, which was released on the 21st of the 4th, 2016. That was in the queue for the best part of a month, I think, before it came out. And it was 2 minutes long. So there really is no way of knowing, if you're just following the HPR queue, as to whether the show is a response to a call for shows or not. That one definitely wasn't, but it came within the period of call for shows. And yes, that was a crappy short episode, but I happen to know that at least one person went back and used that show for because I went back and listened to that show to remember how I did it. So there we go.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's an excellent point. I know how it works, but I tend to forget that the call for shows comes out because the number that are sitting in the queue has got to the point where there are gaps coming up in the near future, and we want them to be filled. But the actual relationship between the release date and the submission date is entirely up to the host who's submitting it. So it doesn't correlate as you would expect.
Yeah. So for example, if you look at the queue now, as of today, we've got week 19, week 20, and week 21 all filled for that. But what actually tends to happen is the Fridays get filled in first because Ahuka usually has a show scheduled for the Friday. Then Linux in-laws are usually running a month or two months ahead, and they fill in the Thursdays every second Thursday. And then, then you have the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays tend to be filled in last. And this is all intentional, because if you look at the way we do the queue, and for long reasons. So first of all, you need to have an audio recording ready before you pick a slot, because back in the day, we used to, people were allocated days. So there was 30 podcasters who had each been given a day, and then that kind of slipped. And then people were posting shows, and then the show would get posted alphabetically, but not in the order in which it came in. So then all that got scrapped, and now hosts themselves are the ones who post the shows, and it's entirely up to them to pick a date and a time. So sometimes I've had shows where we have gaps in, and I've asked a host, can we switch it to put it earlier? Or I will ask a host occasionally, can we take your show and spread it out a bit, because we want to spread these things out. But the decision to do that is entirely based on what the host wants to do, unless it starts becoming an issue with something that we agreed, in which case it'll go to the mailing list. Mm-hmm. Just yep. Some background history.
Yep.
We're never going to get through the show, Dave, at this rate, but anyway.
No, it's about half an hour in already.
So the following comment on the original, on Jason's comment, Brian in Ohio says, I love the rawness of HPR episodes. I like that I can sit at my desk with my phone and do all the producing I need to do to get a show out. If I want a polished episode, I'd listen to Twit, but the content there is terrible, so I don't, especially the spin right guy. Okay. The views of Brian in Ohio do not necessarily reflect those of HPR. Well, he does have a point. I will come back to this again. Yes, the greatest enemy of HPR, despite what Taj is going to say, is perfect audio quality. And while Taj is correct in saying we should have good audio quality. I have seen down through the ages, and Dave, you probably saw this as well, where people have submitted to the admin, you know, contacted the admin mail list or admin account, and which goes to myself and Dave and Troops, I think, and a few other people. And they're, yeah, I've got a brilliant idea for a show. I'm going to do a series, and I bought this mic, and I've got this set up, and I got that ready to rock, and I'm going to go. And then, you know, radio silence. Or somebody who is going to come on and does a few shows and then, you know, disappears because you set the bar so high that you can't produce good quality shows. But Taj has different opinions, and we'll come across those in a while. And he's right. Both of us are right. It's just, yes. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do the next one?
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold on a sec. I need to move.
Sure.
So this one is from Dossman, who says it's a double-edged sword. Once you fall off the wagon, that's a nice mixed metaphors there, there's less incentive to jump back on, less urgency in the calls of the queue is low. But quality over quantity is very worth considering too.
Yep. But then again, you have to define what we're talking about quality there if you're talking about quantity. So we know what the quantity is, one show a week, every one show a day, Monday to Friday. So what's quality? And I've always said quality is where somebody derives value from that. Where one of interest to hackers, that means you and one other person, which could also be you in a future time zone.
Yeah, it's it absolutely, the quality thing is often interpreted as, oh, look at all those professional broadcasters doing their stuff, oh, we should be like them. Whereas I think that, I'm guessing, but I would guess that a lot of people who listen to HBR would disagree with that, because the professionals tend to make very highly polished turds in many cases. You know, the content is poor, the design of how it's done. I hate what's the one? The one where they say we're going to talk to blah about this, and they say hello, and then while the guy's answering, they put some audio over the top of it. At this point, he said blah blah blah, and you think that is disgusting. How would you ever have a conversation face to face where a third person was blabbing over the top of the answer? You know, and
sorry,
that's
what?
Professional. That's professional. What, have you not noticed that? What's the popular America podcast? I can't remember what it's called. I think it's probably a radio show that turns into a podcast. But it seems to be a very common thing in many professional podcasts, where they talk over. They fade down the guy who is answering the question and do a summary over the top of them. Which I switch off straight away. I cannot stand.
That's
insulting. So anyway, there's a few things I feel strongly about here, actually. So I should probably shut up.
Okay, is it me?
It is. Yes.
Brian in Ohio says, in response to the double-edged sword by Dustman, funny. Why does the blog writer not do a show? Give an example of quality. Or if they are shy, use eSpeak or volunteer to read. I'd read it out. I'd be willing to help with either.
Mm.
And Hedoranda, do you want to do the next one? Reply to that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Hello, I'm the author of The Post, says Hedora. I regret writing this post in hindsight. Quality was a bad choice of words. I also enjoy the DIY rawness of HBR, and I certainly don't want it to be more polished in the professional sense, in some professional sense. I should have replaced quality with to my subjective interest or something along those lines. The main point was to bring up the question of perhaps keeping empty slots empty. As a non-contributing listener, it's not my place to try to impose my ideas on the project. Therefore, chose to post it on a personal blog rather than, for example, in this mailing list. As for the reason I'm not submitting a shining example of a quality show, I've been a listener since at least HPR 980, Broadband for Rural North. Ooh, that's going back a bit. And yep. I considered this many times and attempted it a few, but I'm terrible at podcasting. And after this, I don't want to be known as the arsehole who complained about HPR quality but still submit shows. It was not my intent to offend anyone, and I regret my choice of words. I have huge respect for all of the contributors, and I want to apologize to all of you. I'm sorry. All the best.
No need to be. It's valid. And in my original post, I never intended to put him on the spot like that. But yeah. And yes, quality is to my subjective interest. Just we'll be doing a regex on that. So.
Yeah. It's the quality thing is it's pretty subjective. I think it's a word that has multiple meanings, and it depends who's saying it. In some cases, the context, etc.
And Tlatu replied to that, saying, "I don't think an apology is necessary. Your post generated healthy introspection and was itself both respectful and kind. I think it's great that you're a listener, and now, by way of constructive criticism, you're also a contributor. Keep spreading the word." Tlatu is able to write stuff well.
Yes, indeed. He has a skill when it comes to dealing with people that certain of us don't, and I would number myself amongst those.
You do your runes?
I am doing that, yes. Jeroen says, "I had exactly the same feeling, but was struggling with the wording. I think you both said it spot on."
Yes, in response to Tlatu. So, in response to Hedron, Jason Dodd replies saying, "Apology is not necessary. In fact, I'd like to thank you for the post." And he quotes, "I've considered many times and attempted it a few, but I'm terrible at podcasting. This is one of the reasons we don't have a minimum quality bar. I hope you reconsider and put out a show. I've read some of your posts and your content is of interest to hackers. To the question of leaving slots open, another reason I like the current mode of operation is that it forces us to produce. I liken this a bit to like a writer committed to so many words a day regardless. That being said, I'm more of a listener as well and go with the flow. Assuming quality refers to the quality of content versus production quality, I'd also conscience against more of a minimum bar than of interest to hackers. Because there are some shows I got value from I think would not have made it if the quality was higher. For example, we may not have gotten the one that suggested using toothpicks to help when threads are stripped, or the one untying a knot to identify which ear headphones go in. I don't use this, but it gave me some inspiration to mark them another way. To me, HPR is kind of like hanging out in a hackerspace. You hear things from across the room or in the next room, and some of it is useless to you, but it's nice to be in the environment nonetheless. Some of the things you hear fall into the too much information category, but I listened to the snoring episode all the way to the end anyway. I understand that someone's catcher is already overflowing and there's a need to cull or skip podcasts that aren't pulling their weight. But I'm fully on board with YAS on how to cook as well known dish from someone in the community because we need a show. It might sound strange, but there's almost always a new to me take on something that I hear a hacker discuss. Something that's a normal topic here. Don't get me wrong, I love HBR back when shows were few and far between.
So, yes, Brian in Ohio, I was just trying to work out who he's replying to. He's replying to Jason Dodd. Thank you for the apology. Now get out and fill an empty slot in the HPR calendar.
Was that to Jason or was it to...
Well, it was a reply to Jason because I'm using Thunderbird and the threads that it draws shows it linking. And also he quotes Jason in there, but I don't think he meant it to be a reply to Hedera.
He hadn't submitted the show in a while himself, so.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that, yeah. Okay, well, good point.
Okay, I replied, speaking as a janitor here for a moment, as Tatu quite rightly pointed out some years ago, our shows are released under a Creative Commons license. There is nothing in that license that requires any listener to submit a show. There are many ways to contribute to HPR, and many have done so, but have not as yet submitted a show. I had a look at your site, and there's loads of topics of interest to hackers there. We can always get someone to narrate the content for you. Some of these posts may be repeating comments that you read in other posts, but they kind of come in more or less at the same time. And in this case, I had written this before I refreshed my reader. Anyway, speaking as a fellow HPR community member, I'm so glad you submitted this blog post. It's important that we revisit discussions on topics to see if the community now still agrees with what the community then decided. Back in 2010, shows were getting released on an ad hoc basis. Some days there were as many as two or even three shows released per day. More often than not, though, there was no show at all. As time went on, the period between no shows increased, and after a time, it was unclear if HPR was still alive. This was reflected in a steady decline in subscribers. One of the policies I suggested straight away was that one show a day builds trust and retains listeners. This has turned out to be true based on the steadily increasing subscriber base. This, of course, is my personal opinion and should be challenged.
So, Taj replies to that. Well, I'll offer my two cents, since I feel as though I'm going to somewhat represent the voice of dissent. I think the issues raised in the article are very valid, as are some of the issues raised in these responses. I'm glad we have a space to hash through them, like the mailing list. Going back to the original article, I would in no way be opposed to changing to a less than 5 days a week schedule. We seem to have issues filling slots for a while, and the article is 100% accurate in saying that a lot of the old timers are the superheroes filling those slots. If the stress being created by the policy of 5 days a week is primarily affecting the most consistent contributors, maybe their voices on the matter should have the most weight. That being said, I'm a less than regular contributor these days, so maybe my opinion shouldn't matter on this front. The concern raised in the responses that I do have a strong opinion on is the question of audio quality. I've never agreed with the sentiment that audio quality doesn't matter. Anyone who listens to either of the podcasts that I produce can attest, despite my background in pro audio, I'm not looking for perfection. Simple things like consistent audio levels, normalizing the audio to standard levels, matching the intro and outro levels to the levels of the rest of the show, and awareness of how to properly use a microphone, whether that be on a phone or a standalone one, are all simple 5-minute fixes with cross-platform free software that can drastically improve audio quality. Of course, I have the benefit of knowing this and can't complain unless there's a component of this that is educating others. I started a series, first one recorded and should be uploaded today, another being scripted, to talk through these things. While those that prefer the convenience of just being able to do everything from their phone will have little use for the information, maybe it'll help someone. I'd echo the sentiment that I don't want HPR to become a polished production, and I definitely appreciate the weird vibe of the place, but having some intentionality about the quality would create a demonstrably better product. Ken mentioned the purpose of the 5 days a week rule was to create subscribers. I'd argue that it only takes one person's first episode of HBR being barely intelligible to turn them off from the whole project, which is a damn shame. scroll. I'll finish by saying that over the course of the last couple of years, I find myself listening to fewer and fewer episodes of HBR for various reasons. Audio quality, disinterest in the topic, bait and switch episode where the topic is barely discussed and turns into a bizarre political rant, etc. Of course, the solution is being more engaged and contributing more myself, which I plan on doing. As always, big props to the janitorial staff. You'll do much more than most know, and it's very appreciated, at least by this guy, and that's Tadge.
Okay, how can somebody be so wrong? While still being 100% right. That's the annoying part of it. Let's see. I agree with the article is valid. Yes. They're filling in the slots. If you look at the number of slots that are contributed by regular hosts, that changes over time. When the call for shows comes. There's always been call for shows, though. Always. We've never cracked this nut. This is the thing. How to keep shows coming in. New hosts. How do we get new hosts? But every time we have this discussion about the leaky bucket thing, Dave, what happens on the mailing list?
Well, if the subject diverted. Comes up... Yeah. Yes, true. It's the feast and famine thing is precipitated by, to some extent, by us saying, oh my God, it's getting very low, sending some shows, and then there's a flood, and then it all goes very, very quiet for a while because everybody presumably has other things to do, etc.
Yeah, and I've actually seen the patterns. This year has been a bit odd because, let's face it, this year has been a bit odd. But you tend to see patterns during the year when the feast and famine occurs, and it's, you know, in the autumn and the spring is when we tend to get the most shows because people are in their regular routine and they're doing the HBR shows. Over the beginning of the winter, late year, then that's where the problems start arising. Then we get more shows coming in towards the end of the year because of the New Year show generates a bit of publicity and people are aware of HBR again. And then that starts to fade off during the summer, although we can tend to tied over the summer because then the New Year show has kind of bumped out the queue a bit. So that's the normal thing, but there's generally a call for shows. And I find the call for shows is a good thing if it's not done too often because it encourages people to submit a show. It gives you a little bit of urgency for that. And I don't think it puts, I'm not sure it puts that much stress on the old timers. I'm a bit worried about Mr. X in the last few years, but... I don't know.
I think that there's a number of people who contribute to HBR who were able to generate a show with amazing speed. It doesn't have to be anything very shallow. Fast.
You would imagine some of them. You might think, "Gosh, this has been in the pipeline for a while."
Maybe so. But some people just seem to be able to. I think it depends on whether you're the sort of person who can just do stuff off the cuff, or whether you want to prepare. I'm a preparer because I hate the thought that I've screwed up some way, so I go over it minutely in order to make sure I haven't made a mistake, which is, you know, a mindset, not necessarily a healthy one, but it is the one I'm landed with. But other people seem to be able to just do it. And, you know, those often are the people who step up and just bag out a show. The quality, I don't think the quality is poorer as a consequence. You know, it's in many cases they're excellent things, but done off the cuff, which I admire enormously.
Yeah, and as I said, the only way you would know is the fact that they've said this is a show I'm posting because we're short of shows. For example, Tattoo posts quite a lot of shows, and you wouldn't know that there were emergency shows at all.
No. I think his model of producing shows is one where he has an idea, he knows stuff about it, and then he just wings it and produces excellent stuff as a consequence, which I find amazing.
Okay, I want to comment on the drastically improves audio quality. There's two things about that. One is excellent that he has submitted his he's already done introducing a series on audio quality, and it's very good. It's very good, and will be linked there once he's finished. I want the upload a show thing to have a link to that series, so that will help people out.
Yep.
But I just want to come back to the all as simple as 5 minutes fixes on a cross platform. So if we take 5 minutes and we multiply it by 260, that gives us 1,360 minutes.
Yep.
And that works out to 21 hours and 40 minutes. So that's basically, I don't know, 21 divided by, it's 5 1/4. It's about 2.5 work days just dedicated to fixing the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would need to be aware of this. You would need to be doing that. So say we hired somebody. That person would need to be available when we're posting the shows. And sometimes it's last minute. Then the show needs to get edited. That's why we don't edit the shows that way. That said, the processing script that we're using is actually terrible and could be improved. So if there's somebody who would like to help us out with that, that would be most excellent. So what we do in the script is we take whatever audio we get and we convert it to a raw PWM file. And then assuming the intro and outro, sometimes the intro and outro are there, sometimes they're not. If they're not, they're added. The summary and stuff is added. Then the question is how to get the levels of all of the things matching up automatically in a script. And there is a service that does that. They were on Twit on the Floss Weekly at one point, but they don't actually submit any of their stuff as free software. They use all free software, but in a strip mining sort of approach. They've taken the code and basically not contributed back. We can't see what they've done. But if somebody is able to work with us on how to get audio fixed, would be a good thing. So the audio quality, something else, of course, the benefit. So the 5-day-a-week rule isn't to get subscribers. The 5-day-a-week rule has given us subscribers. So I'm using subscribers as a measurement of whether it has built trust or not. Our goal at HPR is to get contributors, not subscribers. Subscribers are a side effect of that. In fact, I know of 2 or 3 hosts who don't listen to HPR at all and contribute shows to HPR. And there's nothing in the license that says that should not be the case. But there are definitely quick wins we can do to improve the audio quality. Sometimes if you go to the Internet Archive, Dave, and you know that they have the WAV, the frequency spectrum,
mm-hmm.
Not the frequency, the waveform up there. And sometimes the intro and outro are like just massive on either side. So we do have all the raw files as well that people sent us. So we can, if somebody has audio that they think this is totally crud, all the raw files are available on Internet Archive, more recent than the last few years than previously.
Yep.
And those files, you can take them and we will repost if you have better versions of them. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a problem for us. But yeah. We did fiddle around with the intro and outro many years ago now when I first joined, I think, because they were very loud and we reduced the volume of those. So it was easier to stitch them into audio. But the issue is that the levels that you produce versus the ones that's getting stuck on it is something that causes this problem, and we need some means of leveling it all out, don't we?
Automatically, yeah.
Automatically, yeah.
It would be good actually to have a little work group on that, because there are some shows where the hosts add the intro and outro and add it badly, that no matter what we do, that's what it is. It comes in as a fait accompli. So that's a topic that we could spin off as a thing. So Taj is already busy doing his episodes, which are good and interesting. But I will point out that I know for a fact that audio quality is important with relation to feedback from the general... Yeah, okay, I can't really tell you this. Audio quality is important, but at a particular point, it is undiscernible for a lot of people. And the younger generation especially who are used of mobile phones and the like, don't put as much emphasis into it as the older generation who have come up with hi-fi and stuff may have done in their time.
Yes, and those of us who are getting a bit deaf just want to be able to hear it, and that's all.
Okay, shall we go to the next one? I feel like I've... Taj, I didn't mean to take your thing apart. I agree with everything you're saying. Just in summary, I agree with everything you're saying. But it's also important that people don't set too high a barrier, because there's nothing worse than, there's a new host, but now they're procrastinating because the levels of their audio, and they've gone out and spent. And the other thing is buying expensive microphones. Not everybody can afford it. If you've got a mobile phone, then that's good. That should be good enough. Always getting better is a thing, but not at the expense of not submitting shows. Okay, anyway, Claudio says, "Hi, NSTR," which was Hedora's handle. "Since I follow you on Mastodon, I noticed the article when someone boosted it and decided to give it a read. I also join in with the others in saying that the apology is not necessary, and I also believe that you made some great points. Personally, I don't mind if the shows aren't polished as far as recording is concerned. In the circumstances, maybe the volume is a bit too low and I just can't be bothered. But if someone records something from their phone on the way to work, which I have done as well as some others that have contributed, then that's okay for me. It doesn't have to be polished as those AAA podcasts do, but it also can be if that's what the contributor wants, so long as the content is of interest to hackers, the slogan of HBR in the first place. There have been some episodes I've heard were a bit raw, but provided some amazing info, and others that were a little more polished, but personally saw no value in them. It is on a rare occasion that I skip an episode, even if I think it won't be interesting, but it happens, and even that's fine, because not everything will appeal to everybody. As far as the schedule is concerned, it hasn't been something that's affected me directly. That being said, I know I need to contribute a show because I want HBR to continue for a long time. Life just gets in the way sometimes. All things considered, you've given everybody a lot to think about, given all the mailing list response from your blog post. So that's a win in my book. Welcome to the community, from Claudio."
That's a very positive
isn't it, just?
Message. Yes, that's great. So we have... Thunderbirds thinks this one might be a scam. This is Nigel. From Nigel.
Yeah, Beezer,
Nigel,
yeah.
Verity.
Very dodgy guy, that guy.
Hold on a second. I can't get it all in the screen. Anyway, reading the message, "Asked in isolation if the audio quality of any recording is important, my answer is an unequivocal yes. Asked in isolation if coherent and eloquent speech is important, my answer is, again, yes. Despite this, I feel there are circumstances where the message is more important than the quality of its delivery, and HBR is one of them. In the case of just about every podcast outside of HBR, the presenters have willingly put themselves forward because they have sufficient confidence in their ideas and their ability to deliver them verbally. That's neither daunting nor difficult for them. HBR is different. We have, of course, more than our rightful share of great speakers who are also very adept at producing high-quality audio recordings. However, unlike other podcasts, many of our contributors might best be characterized as the kid sitting at the back of the class who has something to say that's important to him, but is worried his ideas may be criticized or even ridiculed. His natural inclination, therefore, is to say nothing at all. For a lot of contributors, that first show may be a frustrating or even harrowing experience to produce, with sections being re-recorded perhaps over and over again in the hope of getting it right. However, some of the best shows in terms of interesting content come from contributors who are clearly not at ease in front of the microphone. The high-quality audio to be deemed a key attribute of what constitutes a good show is perhaps one extra burden on the nervous or reluctant contributor that might just prevent them from submitting one at all. The stats demonstrate that it's considerably easier to attract a new HBR listener than a new HBR contributor, so it surely follows that it matters less if occasional suboptimal audio quality deters a listener than the drive for audio excellence deters a potential contributor. My own view is that part of the charm of HBR is precisely that you never quite know what you're going to get, especially when it's the first show of a new contributor. It's very rare for me not to listen to every show as it's released. I've come to realize that subjects that on face value have very little interest, to me, often turn out to be quite the opposite. The technical expertise of many contributors is both inspiring and instructive, but I've enjoyed non-technical shows every bit as much, such as Dave Morris's pen collection. Oops, sorry. Klaatu's Urban Camping or Christopher M. Hobbs' Lunch Breaks being particular highlights for me.
The classics.
So I find myself both agreeing and disagreeing with Claudio at the same time. Best possible audio quality. Absolutely. But in the case of HBR in particular, not at the expense of content quality.
Yes. Content quality, that's what he was talking about, not necessarily the audio quality. He was talking about content quality. But this is good. This is our motto, flack is best, but we accept the rest.
Yep.
Strive for perfection, but don't let it, at a point, we still need the show. Okay, next one, Klaatu says, in response to Hedora's, is that correct?
Yep.
Hedora's comment way back. The question raised by the blog post feel valid. I think the things to consider are, how do we increase quality without also excluding those for whom good audio quality is difficult to achieve? The proposed answer. Maybe we have volunteers to help produce shows rather than to generate content. In other words, if we aim for one show a week, then instead of janitor feeling the best way for janitor to contribute is by pumping out three shows to fill slots, and volunteer would instead foster in a new host with consultation on how to achieve good audio quality, etc. So, next point. How do we reduce the frequency of shows without also making a new host wait for months before their show goes live? An excellent demotivator. Proposed answer. Commit one show a week, but allow for spontaneous, impatient bonus episodes. Next point. Fewer episodes per week doesn't guarantee that the dollar listener is going to suddenly become more interested in each episode, or even that dollar listener will feel the audio quality is good enough. The worldwide audience is huge, and each person has their own requirements for what they put in their ears, and those requirements can change with mood, weather, or whatever else. Just my thoughts. I personally enjoy the daily release schedule, but I wouldn't be surprised if I enjoyed a weekly release one too. So how many shows did Klaatu release on HBR last year, Dave?
Close
to 52, would it be?
SQL engine in my head is unable to answer that.
Yeah. So there's one show a week is 52 podcasts. Five show a week is 260 podcasts. There's a huge difference in the numbers there. And when the queue is full and we get more contributors coming in, then invariably we will have the request to put out shows on Thursday and on Saturday and Sunday as well. So, yeah, I think we are capable of producing 5 shows a week due to the fact that we haven't missed a slot in the last 10 years. And prior to that, the 5 years we did miss slots. So I'm really convinced that we can keep that number of episodes up. However, the sponsor thing is a good idea, but we have to be very careful there. Helping somebody out, because you take everything as criticism. When you posted a new show, everything comes across as criticism. So I was thinking that perhaps we could, you know, the way when we have, this is the first show by a new host, blah, 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 that we could, up until somebody's 5th show, we could put in, this is the 5th show by this host. Mm-hmm. And that would give people an idea of where that person is in their journey. Whereby, say, for example, I release a crappy show on crappy audio, Taj could immediately come and say, right, you know, Ken, here's how you can improve your audio, blah, blah, blah. Whereas with a new show, you'd be more more delicate in how mm-hmm. you approach mm-hmm. a new host. There's a balance yep. there. Maybe that's something that we could do. But again, it's the dollar volunteer thing. How do you get somebody to volunteer for this? Is there interest in that? I would be interested in hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's potentially a commitment that, you know, people have lives and they're not always available at the requisite time, I guess. There is that.
Can I take a 5-minute break, Dave? I just need to check something.
Sure. I have to... I've got an hour at least to go, so I'm...
I just want I'll be back. The magic of truncated silence back in the
second. Yep. Okay.
Okay, back.
Okay.
Okay, let's mosey through these. Time's a ticking, apparently, and I have a list that I didn't know I had. Stuff that needs doing.
So we've reached Joe Fennell, and it's my turn. So Joe Fennell says, hi, as a short-time listener, February this year, you spent a month and a half digging through the back catalogue. I have to say, the show itself has kept me constantly enthralled. Yes, some of the audio could be better out of the 100-plus shows I've listened to, maybe 2 were totally unlistenable. And for content, I like how it varies. Some topics need an hour. Others can be taken care of in 3 minutes. And that's always been the beauty of Hack Spaces. Yeah, there are some oddball shows that some might not think are necessarily of interest to hackers, but hack culture is not a monolith, or better put, the car maintenance episode has just as much value as the bare metal programming on the RPI episodes. As someone who tries to listen daily, or at minimum be caught up with the previous week by the time the next week's episodes drop, I look forward to every show, and as someone who wants to contribute, the shorter episodes give me a springboard when I sit down to try and draft a show. So, yeah, Ken, I owe you a show.
He said it, not me.
So, long ramble short, I feel that The Daily Show, no matter what, is healthy for the ecosystem of HBR and folks like myself who open a text editor and stare at a flashing cursor to draft pre-show notes. Just need to hit record and do the thing.
Yeah. You know what might be handy as well? I want to be a podcaster, and I'm more than happy, just one sec, to get into a mumble chat and just talk, basically. Like, who are you? What are you doing? What's your, you know, the first show that we suggest you do. If somebody is sitting down, the first show should be, who am I, what I'm doing, how I got here, my interest in tech, how I started listening to HBR. That's your first show. In fact, can somebody do a template of questions that you can sit down and actually, that's a brilliant idea. Template of questions that you can do as your first show.
Mm-hmm.
Who are
mm-hmm.
you? Okay, yes, let's do that. That's another thing to take away from this one. I'm making notes of the stuff that I said we should do. fix audio quality script template for the first show, modify the introduction so it says the up to five shows that they're new to HBR, basically. Okay. Next one from Honky Magoo. In response to Clatoo's comment about encourage audio quality and stuff like that. Just a quick note, I may be wrong, but I thought the comment about the quality of shows had more to do with the shows that felt more like they were put out just to put something out. Those shows are about 3 minutes long. On a side note, I have no problem with those shows. I didn't think it had anything to do with the audio quality, or maybe I need to reread the article. I have no problem with the audio quality we get on HPR. The content is what matters. Any audio is better than no audio.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think Honky's quite right, actually, with what he's saying there. It was more something to fill the gap was, today I sharpened my pencil this particular way. That's a good show. I must do that. But it was just something rushed off very, very quickly, and maybe a little bit sparse in terms of quality content as opposed to quality audio. But even then, I personally don't agree that these things are low quality. Sometimes it makes you stop and think, hang on, well, I never thought of that, or I've never seen it that way in my mind. So, it's valuable from that point of view, I find.
However, it's a valid discussion about the audio quality.
It's
one that has come up before and will come up again, no doubt. And we should definitely do something about the audio quality. Oh, yeah, I remember what it was. Put a link to Taj's script. A link to Taj's episode. I'm now going to have to go back and listen to this show so that I can hear all the stuff that I have to do for myself. Why am I giving myself work?
I know. So Jason Dodd replied to Honky's email.
No, to Clatoo. Hmm? Yes, to Clatoo. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you see, the thread got broken. That confuses the life out of me because the Thunderbird thread thingy doesn't know what the hell to do with it. Anyway, I'm of the opinion, he says, that if we switch to committing to one episode per week, we'd still get calls for shows because people would be even more concerned about putting out shows they don't feel are worthy of the now one slot per week. I wonder how the algorithm would go to decide which gets the weekly slot versus get put in the slush pile versus what is released as extra shows. As I try to remember emergency episodes, I don't recall that any that I skipped. Coincidentally, I listened to one just today. I fear I might not have been submitted if we were a sense we only needed to fill one slot per week. Episode 3031, host specifically said it was in response to a call for shows. But I'm not against experimenting with one slot a week.
Okay, and then in response to the original post that I made, Taj said, in response to Honky Magoo, it is true that the original article did not mention the audio quality issue. That came up from the discussion here, and since it's my personal crusade, I jumped on it. I agree that considering audio quality does create a barrier to entry for some, but my hope is that providing some information about the ways to fix things will help people who do care about it to do more. While I appreciate Clatoo's response, I don't know that adding more to the post-upload workflow would really work. That being said, I am always available for those who want to talk to someone about improving the audio quality and or trying to fix a recording that's already made. The biggest caveat to the last part is audio is very much garbage in, garbage out. You can only fix things so much if the initial recording is not great. That's a good one, actually. If I had a list of people who would volunteer to help out, then we can also offer that as a mentorship program for people recording their first show. and that would also get over the barrier. That would be quite good, actually, because if they, I will post a show, except I'm worried about my audio quality, then, okay, here's Taj, but Taj will also make sure that you do actually submit a show. You know, this is the kit that you've got. This is the best you're going to sound. Now we'll do the show, and your show gets posted. So I'm not wishing to volunteer Taj, but did he or did he not volunteer himself? Yes. Well, for the people who care about the audio quality, let's get them as mentors. And that I have no objection to improving the audio quality in HBR, absolutely none. What I do have an objection to is raising the barrier to entry. And those two things do not necessarily need to be the word I'm looking for, Dave. Opposing.
I don't know.
Everybody's screaming out there, right? God, those two fucking old guys can't speak English.
I was rereading that email, so you didn't get my full attention, I'm afraid.
I was just saying that the barrier to entry to HBR doesn't necessarily need to be audio quality. We don't want to increase the barrier to entry, but audio quality doesn't have to be a stumbling block on that road. If we have mentors, we can actually have them push somebody over to that barrier of entry to get their first show out there.
No, that sounds great. That sounds great. If anybody's up for doing that, that would be brilliant. So the next message was from Mike Ray, who's responding to Taj's message. I don't really understand the audio quality issue, he says. It's so easy to produce audio, which is of reasonable quality. I don't see why anyone should be submitting shows where it's not of a basic standard. The only possible issue, as I see it, is when somebody is recorded on the move, in their car or on foot. But even then, it's relatively easy to make sure your voice is at a level which overrides any environmental sounds. I've stopped doing shows because whatever subject I think of, I'm conscious that there are bound to be plenty of people listening who know more than I do about that subject.
Oh, Mike. Mike, what I want you to do is put your hand out and slap yourself about the face, because I'm not there to do it for you. I've stopped doing shows on whatever subject I'm conscious about because people who listen to it know more about it than I do. Yes, there will be people listening who will know more about the subject than you do. But there will be hundreds who have heard nothing about the subject and then will be interested in it because of the show you're doing. This is the whole premise of Klaatu's GNU World Order thing. Sits down in front of a man page. What's this command? I'll type the command. I'll read the man page out to you. I will try what it says in the command. I can't figure this command out. And if anybody wants to tell me more about this command, please do so. Following week, there's somebody sending in replies. That's what HBR is all about. Oh, Mike, sometimes, really.
But even if there are loads of people out there who know the thing backwards and upside down, they're not there talking about it. They're sat there in their huge knowledge, having a wonderful time, no doubt.
Knowing that anybody would be interested in the topic. And then they have a show. Right, there's two ways it can go. You can annoy somebody so much that they go, or you can put on the show and you can say, well, I don't know enough about this topic. Maybe there's somebody out there. And there's somebody out there comes in and does a show. Mm-hmm. Or you annoy somebody so much about your lack of knowledge that somebody comes on to do a response show and to set the record straight on that particular topic. Either way, we get a show. It's a win-win situation.
Yeah. I mean, the whole business of groups of people where somebody's a bit more able to speak versus those who know, who maybe don't feel that good at speaking about things. You know, between the extremes there, you hopefully get something that is valuable, you know?
Absolutely. And I don't know if it comes up in the comments, but a show asking for comments, asking for topics on HBR is a valid show. Yo, here's a list of topics that I would like the HBR community to talk about. And we can, if you don't want to put them on the show, send us an email or contact us on Mastodon, and we'll add that at the end of the community news show in the any other business section. Near your problem. And, Mike, seriously. The next one, yes, Jason Dodd. The way people are always apologizing for perfectly fine audio quality, I suspect perfectionism trying to creep in. This is the line I fear more than anything in this topic. Sometimes hearing something, oh, this is the one, I've stopped doing shows because I think, blah, blah, blah. This is the line that I fear more than anything on this topic. Sometimes hearing something from those who are just getting into something is most useful for those thinking about getting into it. That was in relation to Mike Ray's line.
No, excellent point. Excellent point.
Very disturbing.
So,
Klaatu,
yep. Klaatu is responding to Tadger's. Directly to Tadger's message. I should clarify, my off-the-cuff idea was that a volunteer would consult with a prospective host to help them prepare good audio input. Do you have a microphone? Is it powered or unpowered? What are you? Where are you recording? Etc. And then to assist with post-production. LibriVox, a web project that records and releases public domain books as audio productions, has a really interesting volunteer onboarding process that at very least is worth looking at. You have to introduce yourself in their forum and announce your intention to record a book. Then you must submit an audio clip of a standard phrase at a specific bitrate and in a specific format, which is critiqued by their moderators. This process is repeated until the moderators are happy, and then you get to read your chapter or book or whatever. I'm not saying HBR should necessarily go this route, but I'm just brainstorming.
Yes. I'm distilling that down into like having a group for mentors, a group of mentors for, in any event, for getting people into recording in HBR. That might be a very good thing.
Yeah. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I've listened to LibriVox and I didn't know quite what their process was. So that's good to know.
And I can understand why LibriVox are trying to set a minimum barrier to entry. There because, you know, they're public domain books and there are people listening to them. But yes, again, keeping the barrier to entry low on HBR, but increasing the audio quality as much as we can so that the two are not mutually exclusive. That's what I was looking for before. Mm-hmm. Okay, next one. Lost in Bronx. To me, the biggest issue for HBR is, and always has been, attracting contributors. Lost in Bronx, nailing it on the head again. Anyway, back to the thing. It stands to reason, then, that lowering the barrier to entry matters more than anything else, including raising the audio quality. While many long-time podcasters find the process of recording audio quality audio to be trivial at this point, I'm not one of them. It's precisely why the audio quality of a number of my own contributions has been so bad, because if I didn't compromise the quality, I couldn't contribute at all. Granted, I owe Ken and the community a show right there now, but my point stands. It is not I who said it, Dave. Anyway, how many thousands of downloads does HBR get per episode on average? And the answer to that is around 3,500 episodes. So we've got about 35,000 people subscribing. Get about 3,500 episodes, so 1 in 10 people listen to the shows, and we have 350-ish hosts in the 15 years. So per year, that's probably about 15 hosts. So there's several order of magnitudes between the number of hosts we have to the number of shows. Anyway, back to the thing. How many thousands of downloads does HBR get per episode on average? I don't have the stats handy, but others do, and it's not small. Now, compare that to the number of active contributors. Whatever that statistic is, I'm willing to bet it is small. We need more hosts, and first-time hosts are rightfully intimidated by the process. While we do run the risk of getting some shows that are either unlistenable audio quality-wise, or expressly not of interest to hackers, some of my stuff, I'm Ken arguing with that, I personally believe emphasizing audio quality, at least outwardly, to prevent hosts not subscribing to this list would be counterproductive to attracting new contributors. I've no doubt we'd lose some listeners due to the audio of a few shows. That's unfortunate. But I've also little doubt we lose potential hosts who find the process of contributing to be insurmountable. That's flat out tragic. So many people listening feel that they don't even have anything worthwhile to say, let alone the knowledge to put it out there. Until we can make headway against that sort of thing, I can't see throwing up more barriers to entry. HPR is a hungry beast. It's not at all picky about what it eats, but it needs constant feeding. Oh, yes. Mm, oh,
I like that
yes.
image. Yes,
oh,
yes. Yes. Need a cartoonist to draw that, don't we?
Yeah. And Bob says, I'll just finish off, most excellent Bob, quoting, HPR is a hungry beast. It's not picky about what it eats, but it needs constant feeding. Yes, very much. There are two notes I wanted to say about this. One is, he is so right, and I disagree with him. I've found his shows of all to be most interesting, particularly Old Soldiers. The reason I'm here right now, Dave, is because of Lost in Bronx. So, that's another story which will be covered in another podcast shortly. But what can you do? The key elephant in the room that nobody talks about is getting new hosts. Getting new hosts is the key. I'm going to frame that post by Lost in Bronx. You watch The Essential Craftsman, don't you, Dave?
I do, yes, yes.
And you know he has this thing where he says, people ask him, how do you get an anvil? He's into blacksmithing and he's currently building a house, but he's into blacksmithing. He says, lots of people talk to him about, how do you get my first anvil? And he says, make sure you introduce the concept of, you make sure that you have the word anvil in every conversation you have with somebody. And it'll come up. And people do. You wouldn't happen to have a anvil. Do you know if anyone around here has got an anvil? In the same way, as a HPR listener, I'm not talking about contributors now. I'm not talking about people who have contributed like Hedron here. I'm talking about listeners. Those who have subscribed to the field and are listening to this show, you can contribute to HPR by getting hosts, by mentioning HPR to people, by saying, hey, that's a really nice topic. You know, you did a blog post on that. Would you be interested in recording it for HPR? Would you mind if somebody recorded that for HPR? Get HPR into the mindset of people, and then we get more hosts. It's as simple as that. Okay, that was it, Dave. Did we miss anything?
Yep. I don't think we did. No, we covered some ground there. Good stuff.
So, all in all, absolutely excellent. The takeaway for everybody on this is mention recording audio to people. If the word podcast comes up, mention it. If you're in a hackerspace, mention it. It's a good way to promote your project. Mention HPR constantly. Then we have links to Taj's series. Anybody who wants to volunteer to look at anybody who does processing of audio with command line tools, if the words like socks and FFmpeg resonate with you, see what I did there, ba-dooch, then talk to us about getting a better script. Or if you know of other podcasters in the free Libre open source world who have methods of processing script using free Libre open source tools, then contact us. We need to do a template for your first show. Somebody needs to write that. We need to modify the script to add this is the first, second, third, fourth, fifth show of somebody so that we know where they are on the stage. And then we're looking for volunteers to mentor people for audio quality, or in general, just mentor people getting the first show in. That's the key. And I'm also open for that, although my audio quality is terrible, but I like it that way. See, Taj?
it's good to strive for these things, but
it is.
Shouldn't be too upset if you don't quite achieve them, I find.
Yes, but we can coexist. There's absolutely, if it makes somebody come back and do more shows because they feel like, hey, that's something I can be proud of, then all the better. And if somebody's mentoring somebody to do a show, then that person will feel less likely to procrastinate because procrastination is the enemy here. If HPR is the warrior, procrastination is the fiant. That's the word for fiant, enemy. Mm-hmm. Nemesis. Mm-hmm. Nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio. Why is my recording not stopped, Dave? Okay. Don't delete your recording of this, please. I have to go do stuff now. Bye.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Ken. Bye.
Bye. See you, curiosity. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.